Amen. Hey, church, as we're standing, can we welcome anybody who might be watching online, our online community? And most importantly, thank you, the men of Lansing Correctional Facility. Happy Sunday. How we doing? We good? Good. Say hi to your neighbor. Grab your seat. As Priscilla just talked about, we are continuing this little mini series on being raised to life and directly connected to the scripture. We got 21 scriptures that we believe that should be the foundation of our faith. Many of them you might know, some of them you might not. But I teach just a little, just a short little devotional on each one and lead us through a prayer. Because last week we talked about if we're being raised to life, we need direction to where our life is going. We believe that direction is found in the timeless truth of God's word. It's not just nice suggestions and cool stories about miracles. They're not just axioms of wisdom. It is the way, the truth, and the life that we're called to live. In fact, this whole series got kicked off in my heart about 6 weeks ago when my youngest turned four, because she was born on the first day at stay-at-home orders and mandate for COVID. And I remember the lockdown began, but then there's so many people still 4 years later living in the fear of yesterday, living in the divisiveness and the tension that really touched our nation and the entire world. And so when we're declaring raised to life, what we're saying is we're not gonna live dead and defeated any longer. We're gonna be everything that God has called us to be here and now. And we believe that we need something to live on, like the daily bread of God's word. If it's not what directs and corrects you, it doesn't show you the way to follow Jesus and to live your life, then you're missing true north in your life. We're today going to talk about something we all need. Like just like you need food to live, you can make it about 7 to 8 weeks without eating a single calorie. I don't suggest you try that. But you can only live about 4 minutes without breath in your lungs. And if we're going to be raised to new life, I want to talk not about your breathing habits. I want to talk to you about your praise. I want to talk to you about the posture of praise in your life. Because when God created man in the garden and he breathed life into him, that Hebrew word there's ruach. It's not just air. It's not just oxygen. It's the breath and spirit of God. So when we breathe out, more than just the carbon dioxide that leaves us, it's this breath of God leaving us. And yet a lot of us use our breath to whine, complain, negativity and doubt, discouragement and despair. And there's always a place for you to tell the truth about what you're going through. But then there's also the opportunity for us who are saved and being saved, those that are redeemed and being redeemed, to actually declare God's plan and give God some praise. That from the breath of our lungs, this ruach would come, not just words that are empty, but they would come from a heart and a posture of praise. The same word ruach used in Genesis chapter 2 for the breath that God put into man, we also see in Psalms 150. The scripture says this, let everything that has breath, ruach, praise the Lord. If you are a person who is saved by God, if you are a believer in the finished work of the cross, you breathe out your old death and despair, and you breathe in new life in Christ. And then every day we have the opportunity, in fact, throughout our day, to bring that breath of God out of our lungs and put it in some praise on his name. Put it in some worship and adoration and to give him glory. Because we have breath, there's reason, because you're alive today, there's a reason to praise. Psalms 42 says, why am I so discouraged? Why am I so troubled and upset? Instead, I will put my hope in God. I love this because the psalmist here, he doesn't answer his own negative question. He's not feeling good. He's frustrated. He's discouraged. He's beat down. Life seems like it's getting the best of him. And yet he says, why am I so struggling? Why am I so frustrated? And instead of giving you the laundry list of his complaints and problems, he says this, instead of talking about that, let me talk to my God. Instead, I'm going to put my hope in God. How does he do that? He says, and I'm going to praise him once again. I'm not praising him for what I think he might do. I'm praising him for what he has done. He's my Savior and my God. This is an Old Testament passage. How much more so as new covenant believers do we have more to praise God about? That we have this beautiful salvation and we have this God that cares. He even goes on to say, when my heart is breaking, I remember your kindness. This kindness of God that drew me to a changed life, that redeemed my life. I'm discouraged, I'm troubled, I'm upset. No, I'm going to choose to praise anyway. In fact, I'm going to praise him again for what he is doing and what he has already done. I want to speak today about the praise paradox. Paradox is something that doesn't seem like it would work. It doesn't seem to be true. It could even be this self-contradictory statement. Like you've heard someone say, like, to reap energy or to get energy, you sow energy. Come on, how many know when you don't want to go to the gym because you're tired and you do it anyway, how good do you feel on the other end of that? It's a principle. It doesn't seem like it would make sense to burn calories and then you feel better, but that's the way even our body works. Well, let me tell you how your spirit works. There's a paradox in our praise, that when you don't feel like it is when you need to do it the most. When it seems like the last thing, all I want to do is talk about every struggle that's out there, every issue I'm feeling, every insecurity I have. And yet the paradox is when I actually begin to exalt how good God is, even when I cannot see it in my struggle, it changes me. It's the paradox of our praise. And this is why we sing hallelujah. Halal just literally means praise. The Jah there is another word you could use for God. When I sing a hallelujah, I am just saying, praise be to God. Why don't we go ahead and try it here today? Because some of you are already yawning on me. It's 11:45. Let's just give a hallelujah to God. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah! Best hallelujah of the year right there. Now, that wasn't that hard, was it? Most of you didn't want to do it. But we peer pressured you into it. And can you already feel we're laughing? The atmosphere already feels different. Why? We just said, praise God. You didn't maybe want to. No one gave one just free willing before I asked, but you did it anyway. Why? When you praise God, something shifts in the atmosphere of your heart at minimum. And then also many times, something begins to shift in the spiritual world around you. That when I'm doing poor or struggling, I'm going through a difficulty, and I choose to praise anyway. Why would that work? Well, it's the paradox of praise. It's a spiritual principle that will impact your natural, spiritual, physical, every part of your life. Because we were people that received breath in our lungs, ruach, and we give it back to God. And when we do that, we're breathing the right way. We're living the right way, and we're leading our lives in the right way. But I've got a question for many of you. Who stole your praise? Maybe a better way of saying that is, what stole your praise? What you're giving your attention to, if it's negative, if it produces fear or anxious thoughts in your heart and mind, every time you're focusing on that, you're giving your breath, your words, your attention, you're investing in thinking about that, it's stealing your praise. Maybe it's your current struggle. Maybe some shame in your life. Maybe you're focused on self. I think the quickest way to lose a heart that's healthy is when you just focus on yourself. I think about the very first worship leader the Bible ever talks about it is Lucifer. And Jesus actually says, hey, I saw him. It's in Luke chapter 10. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He went from the place of perfection to this place of brokenness. Why? Because he was focused on self. He did not want God to get all the glory. He wanted a little bit for himself. There's a paradox of our praise. We don't make it about our pain, and we don't make it about our problems. We make it about our promise-keeping God. And at minimum, what will change inside you is that you'll have a little bit more faith in your heart, a little bit more hope in your mind, a little more peace that rest upon your life. And God changes you as you change the words that come out of your mouth and turn them from negativity into speaking about the good things about your God. And there is always something good to say about God because he is good. John chapter 4, Jesus says this, true worshipers, real worship, worship the Father in spirit. That's a lowercase s. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. That means that you have to feel the presence of God. It's literally speaking about your own heart decision from your inner world. Not just your mind knows the lyrics on the screen, or you can read and you recite the words. No, it's from your heart. You put your heart into your praise, spirit and in truth. That's the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Wait, he's seeking after worshipers. Why is he looking for worshipers? Does God need your praise to be God? That answer is no. Still God. Does God need your generosity to provide? No. Does God need anything from you to be who he is? No. So why is he looking for people who praise? If it technically does nothing to elevate him because he's above it all, it must be for another reason. It's like it talks about in 2 Chronicles, won't show up on the screen, that the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro to throughout the whole earth to what? To strengthen those hearts who are what? Fully committed to him. This is a paradox as well. Why is God looking for people to praise? It's because it's so it's people that he can strengthen. This is why they say things like, you can't outgive God. Because what he's saying is that when he's looking for people to praise, it's because they're the kind of people that have the posture, heart, attitude. That even if they're going through a hard time, they still lift up a hallelujah. It's because he's looking for those kind of people, because he's such a perfect father, that he wants to pour out his strength and blessing and favor on his sons and daughters. This is why God's looking for people of praise, so he can show himself strong on your behalf. That's how good God is. Isaiah 29, verse 13, God says, these people, how many got some of those people in your life? These people claim to be mine and praise me with their lips. So they're actually singing the words, but that spirit and truth, that spirit part's disconnected. But they don't mean it. Some of you ain't even there with reading the words off the screen. I watch you during worship. No judgment there. Just an opportunity to go ahead and better your life. Their hearts are somewhere else. They're saying the right thing, but their heart's not in it. It's actually far from me. Their worship of me is a routine repeated without thinking. Okay, how many felt a little ouch right there? Because the last three songs that we just sang, some of you knew the words and you've been thinking about the brunch that's coming in just a few moments. Some of these guys here I see with polos on and golf hats are tapping their foot because they want to go watch the Masters. Like, I know we're thinking about other things that happens to all of us, but what is challenging us here is not just to be people that give lip service. It isn't about how even loud you sing, although I encourage you to sing a little louder. It's about where is the spirit at? Where's your heart at? If you want to experience the peace that surpasses all understanding, you got to be a person of praise. If you want to experience the strengthening of God in your life in the areas you're weak, you need to be a person of praise. And I know it feels like a paradox. Why am I giving out? It's because this is the way that God works in his kingdom. His kingdom is always upside down in the way the world works. The world would say, if you're struggling, take care of yourself. Think about yourself. Rally some people around you to help you. And that's definitely something beautiful that can be a part of the community of faith and a spiritual family. But when I'm really hurting on the inside, or I don't know the way through what I'm walking through, the paradox of praise says, I'm going to praise him anyway. And when I choose to do that, it doesn't matter how downcast my soul feels. I put my heart into some worship and adoration of God, and he begins to work on me and strengthen me. He gets to strengthen you. Psalms 138, verse 1 says, I will praise you, Lord, what? With my whole heart. I'm not giving a half-heart praise. I'm not going to give him part of my heart. He gets all of my heart. What happens when we praise God with all of our heart? What's the paradox of praise? I believe this. It's when I choose to elevate him, that's really what praise is about. It's admiring. It's adoration. It's adoring. It's glorifying. It's lifting up his name and who he is, not based on my feelings, but based upon my faith and the status of my heart. When I elevate him, it actually elevates you. That's the paradox. When I lift him up, it actually picks me up. I wrote it this way if you're taking notes. When I praise up, I raise myself up. Something begins to change in the status of my spirit and my heart. When I give him some glory, I don't just see all the pain and problems. I begin to get an elevated view of not just who he is, but who I am to him. It changes my perspective and it elevates me to the place where I know that he sees me, loves me, and he's with me. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, to all who mourn in Israel, he gives what? Beauty for ashes, joy instead of sadness, and praise instead of despair. If you got ashes in your life, but you begin to give praise, there's beauty coming your way. If you got sadness in your life, but you choose to give him praise, there's some joy coming your way. And if there's despair in your heart right now, no, he's actually given you the opportunity to praise anyway. And when you choose to praise when you're facing problems, the paradox of it all is instead of you putting all your time, energy, and attention to solve that situation, you, from your ruach, your spirit, you begin to just praise him. He actually elevates your heart and your life. Y'all real quiet at the 11 a.m., by the way. I'm not mad about it. But let's do something about it, because I'm talking about saying from your mouth what your heart is actually feeling. That either God has been good to you, but by the way, he has, because we have a cross called Calvary 2,000 years ago that is forever settled whether God is good or not. And so even when life ain't good and God hasn't done good on that one situation yet, I'm going to praise anyway, because the posture of my heart is not based upon my current position. Or maybe it is. That even when I'm going through a difficult thing, that's not all that I have. I'm actually elevated with him. The Bible says I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I don't just live down here. I have his authority on my life. That I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was without hope, but now I have a living hope, so much so that I can share out of the overflow to the world around me. I actually am in a good place even when I'm going through a tough thing, because that's how good God is. I'll be honest with you, this morning, Turner family's been super sick this week. I was super tired. Some of it's because I made a decision last night. I'll tell you about it later, but I was exhausted this morning. And I got into the shower. Don't get a visual of that. It'll scar you forever. And I'm like, okay, I'm preaching on praise. Maybe I should praise today. You know, maybe. Good idea. Practice what you preach every once in a while, Pastor Kyle. And so I just said, okay, I'm going to praise. I'll be honest with you, the first couple things out of my eyes were barely open. Earlier this week, I had allergies so bad, I couldn't even open my eyes. So I'm like tired, I'm exhausted. And so I'm just barely there. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna praise God. Did my heart want to? I'll be honest with you. No. I wanted to show up, get through my outline. God bless you, have a great week. I'm on my way out. I was thinking, I got places to go, things to do. But I just went, you know what, I'm going to praise anyway. And I started out with probably the weakest level of praise you could be. Robotic almost. God, I thank you. You are good. I lift up praise to you, O God of Israel. And then something began to change. I said, God, I thank you for my family. I thank you for my church family. I thank you those that have been through these battles of the last 4 years. And have come out stronger on the other side. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that I'm filled with your Holy Spirit and power. It's not my own life. My life has been bought with a price, and I turn that life over to you right now, God. I worship you for who you are, not how I feel. And I am fired up from that moment of decision when I felt nothing, but I chose to do it anyway. It elevated my life. It shifted my attention on all the things, not that are afflicting me, no, but the affection of heaven that God has for me. Did it change my situation? Not really. When I praised in that moment, were my kids that are sick instantly healed? They weren't, believing that they will be. But it changed my perspective, because I shifted my attention off of myself and how I felt and onto the faithfulness of my God. Come on, church, let's give him some praise. Number two. When I choose to praise, I find his presence. Now, his presence is around you all the time. As believers, he's living on the inside of us. But when I choose to praise, I find it. It's revealed to me that God is with me. Now, one of the reasons I was so tired, as I alluded to, is because I went to the Sporting KC soccer match last night. It was us versus Messi. And it did not work out that well for us. Don't go against the goat. It doesn't work very well. But it was interesting that even though I would say 4/5 of the crowd was from Kansas City, although I saw a whole lot of Argentinian flags. By the way, how many people just love Latinos? They're dancing when there's no music on. They were just like, ah. It's like, what? They're just dancing all the time. I love that. But everybody was kind of secretly also for Messi. And so when we scored and took the lead, the place went nuts. But when he scored, it was like another level. The Miami fans, the Messi fans, and all of us. Why? Because we were experiencing something amazing. But before he scored his goal, he almost had one earlier. And it was amazing that the buildup built such anticipation. In fact, every time he touches the ball, it was kind of like, oh. And if you know anything about soccer, it's really the same with basketball. You get a couple good passes. Maybe someone's on a fast break in basketball, or the ball is beginning to play to the striker in soccer, and the anticipation builds. You can hear it. The more people there, the more you hear it. It's like, oh, oh, oh. And 9 times out of 10, especially in soccer, you don't get the goal. Goalie saves it, kick it out. Someone flops on the ground or rolls around for 15 minutes. Also a Latino thing, I think, anyways. My bad, European. But there's so much anticipation, but then doesn't always happen. And this is what I thought just spoke to me. Can I start building up that just excitement before the goal? Like not I'm let down when it doesn't happen. I believe the will of God for your life is good, pleasing, and perfect. And if it ain't good yet, God ain't done yet. And so when you thought it would be that promotion, you thought it would be that contract, you thought it would be that relationship, and as it was kind of unpacking, unfolding, you were getting excited. You were starting to be in anticipation that something good was happening, only to be let down because it didn't happen the way that you thought. See, real big boy, big girl praise builds up excitement. And even if there's something that doesn't happen, the door doesn't open, you don't get the opportunity, you don't get a second date, whatever it might be, you just actually continue to amplify the expectation because you know he who promised is faithful. And if it doesn't come the way you thought it would come, it doesn't mean that the door is closed. It means you're just going to have to keep walking down the hallway of destiny until God opens the right one. So we're people that when we praise and maybe get gut punched, it didn't work out. It just gives us an opportunity to praise from a more mature place. That God is still at work even when you can't see it happening. We can praise in the buildup. And that's why when you begin to praise, you begin to experience the presence of God around you. Now, it's always there, but we become more aware of it. Psalms 140 says it this way. The righteous praise your name, and they what? They live in your presence. That when we praise your name, we're living in that place of God presence. Psalm 75, verse 1 says, God, we praise you and thank you. Why? Because you are near. Not because I am winning. Not because life is working. Not because I have total peace about everything. No, I'm just going to go ahead and praise you because you are near. Thirdly, praise places the solution above your struggle. It puts things back in the order that heaven wants to see your life working in. You can say it this way. When I choose to praise, I exalt my problem solver over my problems. And I would be honest with you, we're pretty bad at this. I mean, maybe you aren't, but the American church, the Western church, the cultural Christian, are pretty good at talking about everything negative and not ever exalting the positives that we already have. Psalm 69, verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song, and but I will magnify him with my thanksgiving. Oh, some of our self-talk, some of our conversations, even in church, we diminish God. We come around and we magnify the problem. We glorify the problem. Uh-oh, did we just say it that way? We expand on the problem. Now, you need a person to talk about real life, please do. That's why we need to be in a community of faith. You need someone to give you an ear, but you also need someone to give you some of their own ruach, to then speak into you, hey, I get it, that's hard. I'm sorry that happened. I don't have the answer for that, but I kind of know someone who does. How many know it's not always what you know, it's who you know? You might not know how to help that person, but you know the one who can. And so when we get in this synergistic faith where your faith is weak but mine is strong, or vice versa, and then we start to encourage one another in the Lord as the Bible talks about, what are we doing? We're magnifying the problem solver, and automatically, it doesn't mean the solution happens immediately, but it diminishes the struggle as we exalt the problem solver. When God gets larger in your life, your problems shrink. When you make God big, your problems get a little smaller. Psalms 145, verse 3, the Lord is great and worthy of our highest praise, because what his greatness is beyond our understanding. I heard a pastor speak this week online, and he was talking about, we never overthink about positive outcomes. Everything, you never play things out to the best it could be. Come on, I know this is our flesh. I know it's human nature. But we're also being made in Christ's nature. We also have got this spirit thing going, right? So when we think about something, it's like on the hinge, 50-50, good or bad. You don't know how it's going to play out. What do we normally do? We run every scenario of negativity to the fullest. Well, my wife, she seems frustrated today. I wonder what's going on with her. I wonder if we're going to get another fight like we did last week. I wonder if we're going to, before you know it, it's like, I wonder when, where the kids are going to live. I wonder if they're going to choose mom or dad. Like, we go to the worst case scenario. Like, we do it all the time. But praise helps us put things in the right perspective. Then we start thinking and praising the good things that are happening. Instead of running endless negative scenarios, because some of y'all are professional doubters. Some of y'all's names should be Thomas. I'm not talking about the train, I'm talking about the disciple. I think for me, God is saving me from being a professional, Hall of Fame cynic. I think some of us are legendary negative thinkers. But that should not be the way of God's people. Because as bad as it gets, I always have something to praise for, to praise about, to glorify him. And the paradox of it is, as life gets horrible or worse, the more I praise, honestly, the better I feel. Because the presence of God shows up and I magnify the Lord. I love this, it says, come magnify the Lord with me. Come on, that's what we do on Sundays. We magnify the Lord together. We show up in worship. This is not about an appetizer before the main course of God's word. We are showing up to praise God. It isn't even about you. It's about him. And he's so good. Does he need it? No. What changes in the room? Us. Why? Because we're in the right kind of heart posture where God can do everything he wants to do in your life in that place of humility. You don't fall into positivity. You choose it. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. It has some benefit to your life. I'm talking about focusing on the goodness of God. And it'll begin to change the struggle that you might be going through. Praise is about being positive about God's attributes, not your struggle, not your situation. And when I begin to praise and I make a praise move, I make my God a little bit bigger, or I make my perspective or my heart cry of him more of who he really already is. And my small struggle becomes perspectively even less and less. Four, I gotta go quick. My praise creates a path forward. Praise creates a path forward. Psalm 73, David said, I tried to understand all that was happening to me, but it was too difficult to figure out until I went into the sanctuary of God. Until I went to that place where God is worshiped and lifted up, I couldn't know the way to go. But when I found myself in a place where God was and I could praise him, then I got direction for my life. This is why Psalms 100, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and we come into his courtyards with praise. It gives us opportunity to be closer to him. And you are as close to God as you want to be. He's always there. What happens in the courthouse? What happens in the courtroom? What happens in the sanctuary? God speaks. God directs. God determines. My praise gets me in the place, in the posture, where I can hear what heaven is wanting to say to my heart, and it gives me a path forward. Fifth, praise reminds me of who he is and what he has done. Psalms 103 again. Praise the Lord, I will tell myself. I gotta tell myself. With my whole heart, I will. I love that. I will, not I want. Notice that? It doesn't say, I want to. I want to praise his holy name. No, I will. When do you want to praise his holy name? When you've got the Mega Millions? Like, that's when you want to. You want to when you're finally walking down the aisle after a long season of living single. That's when you want to. But instead, I'm choosing, I will. My willpower is determining my course and direction and action, because my perspective is not on my problems. It's on the goodness of my God, who sent his one and only son to die for my sins so I could be forever set free and live in his family for forever. That's why I choose my will to align with his. I praise his holy name. I praise the Lord. I tell myself. And I remember the good things he's done for me. Some of you are facing problems right now that feel absolutely like you can't overcome them, but actually they're not even as big as the problems you faced a year ago. And if you would tell yourself the truth, you would realize, yes, this is a struggle, and yeah, I don't know the way forward, but this was nothing to what I faced 3 years ago. This is nothing what my father had to go through that got my family to here. Oh, so generationally he might have been good to you? How about for 1,000 generations God's been good? And then I start thinking about that, you know what, this isn't even that hard. Definitely not for God, maybe not even for me. So I changed my perspective and I changed my praise. Because why? He forgives all my sins. What's the psalmist doing? He's remembering what God does. He heals my illness. He saves my life. He surrounds me with love and tender mercy. He fills my life with good things. I don't know about you, I feel like praising right now. Because he's already been good to us. You want to raise your life? Raise your praise. Raise your praise. Another translation of the same passage says, praise the Lord and forget not all his benefits. Who stole your praise? What stole your praise? What problem right now is you're making bigger than your God? Praise is choosing to remember the faithfulness of your Heavenly Father. The Lord protects, Psalms 28, and defends me when I trust him. He helps me and fills me with joy as I praise him. Protection and strength and joy, not always immediate solutions to the situation, but it solves the bigger problem that's going on in your world. I'm running out of time, but real quick, I'll paraphrase these last few parts. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, crazy story, Jehoshaphat. And this was a God plan. God said, hey, you're about ready to go fight these two other kings, these enemies. It's kind of a battle you can't win, but God's like, good thing, you got me. Now, let me tell you the strategy here, Jehoshaphat. You're gonna send out the worship team. Now, I think our worship team has a couple of secretly scrappy people, but I think normally if we go back to the nation of Israel, we would probably not think of the worship team playing the harp and the lyre. I don't even know what a lyre is, but that's how I play it. You would know. I don't know. You're in a symphony. I am not. I don't think that we're going to send out our greatest. In UFC fight last night, there was no one with a tambourine going out there first. But God says, that's the way I want you to do it. And now, do we go into maybe a difficult meeting as you meet with the board about your job or your career? Or you go for a promotion at work and they're downsizing everyone else? Like, you don't send someone else to sing before you. But what we're learning here is not the physical thing they did to put the worship team in front. What we're learning is the spiritual principle that praise should go first. And if you want to win victories in your life, you start with praise. If you want to be raised to new life, you start with admiring and admonishing who God is and what he's done for you. And the enemies in that story turned on themselves, and they didn't even have to fight. The moment you praise, I believe, is the moment you see God move, although he's already moving. Final thought is this: praise is the precursor to freedom. Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they're just ministering. They're just sharing the gospel. They didn't get themselves in trouble doing something bad. They were doing something good. In fact, they found themselves beat up and thrown in jail, maybe gonna lose their life because they just helped this girl who had a demon. Like, they set her free and they couldn't stand it. They threw him in jail and they beat him up. And Acts 16 says, about midnight, the day was almost over, and it was a bad day. Come on, we've all gone to bed on one of those days. just a bad day. Paul could have thought, you know what? I got all this for just preaching the gospel. Hello, God, I'm on a missions trip. Make it easier. And no, God doesn't. Just like he doesn't remove the thorn in the flesh from Paul. He says, no, my grace is sufficient. Where you're weak, I'm strong. He can't get himself out of there naturally. He might die. This is what I get for serving you. Now, if I'm Paul, I'd probably make it through the night frustrated and angry. And then in the morning, I might just know, okay, got to do my devotional time. I'm going to listen to a podcast. I'm going to pray in my morning routine, and I'll get my heart back into it. Okay, nothing wrong with that, but that's how we would respond. Still frustrated, but I'll fix it tomorrow. They don't wait till tomorrow. They're in the middle of the worst day. And before the clock even strikes 12, they decide, you know what, let's go ahead and praise anyway. What do we got to lose? And so they begin to praise. And he had Silas there praying and singing songs to God, and everyone else was just listening, but the two of them begin to sing. And then an earthquake shook free the jail and set every captive free. And then they stay there and they get a revival in that place. Instead of leaving in a body bag or disgraced, they get walked out of the city after starting a revival and probably a church. They were freed from their chains. See, they were free in here before here. They were free in their heart before they were free anywhere else. And that's what praise produces in your life. It is the cry of freedom from a heart that's already been set free from God, even when you feel you're bound and getting choked out in some situation in your life. It's telling your atmosphere of the world around you, and it's telling your own heart and mind that I'm going to praise God because I'm already free. I'm already seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm already provided for by my Jehovah Jireh. I'm already cared for by my God. He proved to me on Calvary's cross, and he ain't done yet. And when I begin to praise from that place and that posture and perspective that I've already been set free, because who the Son sets free is free indeed, it's about going to change the situation. I'm not saying you're getting out of jail. I'm not saying you're getting out of your struggle over just a little bit of praise. I'm saying you'll get free from what's jailing you in here and in here. And that's real freedom. That's better than any promotion you get at work. That's better than any relationship with any other person, is that you get to your relationship with God in order when you are a person that prays. We all need pain partners in life. Someone that understands your struggle or can lend an ear, listen to you. But Silas and Paul are not just pain partners, they're also praise partners. And it's why you show up in church. It's why you need a community of faith. It's why you need to get in a group. It's why you should come to the Bible studies. You get around other people. And maybe on your day when you're feeling at a 2 and they're feeling at a 9, you guys can get encouraged in that place in your life. And maybe one day when you're living at an 8 and they're at a 1, you could speak some encouragement to them. And we get to remind ourselves to praise God anyway, even in the face of the problem. And we see that his plan, his will comes to pass. I think Satan made a mistake. Satan made a mistake when he put Paul and Silas together in chains. He thought they would just share in each other's misery. No, they begin to minister to one another by praising, beginning to praise and sing songs together. And Satan made a mistake when he allowed you to get to church today, because he thought you'd come in alone and frustrated and fearful of all the things you were facing. But what he did not know is by the Spirit of the living God and by the community of faith, you are surrounded by people that are here to praise. They might be chained up in the same situation as you, but they got a perspective that God's about ready to set us free. And they begin to praise from a place where we need God's help. And guess what? God shows up and he can shake everything else to set you free. I'm out of time, fully out of time. I want to tell one last quick little story. Psalms 137 tells us this little song. In fact, it's a lack of a song. It's kind of a sad poem is what it is. I don't know about you. I ain't got no, life hard enough. I got no time for sad poems. But it spoke to me this week as I read it. It's speaking about the people of God, people of Israel, as they're in their rebellion and disobedience, they're being sent into captivity. And it talks about that journey there. And then when they get there, their captives, the Babylonian people are saying, hey, sing us one of your old songs. Sing us a song about your God. I mean, they got 1,000 gods. Would you sing us a song about yours? We want to hear a little song from your homeland. And they pretty much, in their pain, said, we put the instruments on the shelf. We got nothing to sing. Sorry. I don't feel like it. this is too hard. I'm in captivity. You sing a song. I'm gonna sing a song. And I'm not, we can't play revisionist history with the Word of God. But we don't know that Paul and Silas weren't gonna die that night, do we? We just know that they praised anyway, and here's a miracle story. What if instead of 70 years in captivity, there's a revival that breaks out because they sang a song anyway? When they did not feel like it, they did it anyway. What about for you? What about you and the thing that stole your praise and the problem that's pushed down your praise? Like, you got a free will decision that you're going to make, and you have put the song on the shelf instead of giving it to God anyway, because you're so frustrated about what hasn't worked. You forgot the faithfulness of your God that's already saved you at the cross. Oh, what would happen? They could have gone right back to Jerusalem, become the promised land. And I'm not saying that that's the way that God was going to do it. I'm just saying they never got the chance to find out. I don't know about you. I want to find out in the midst of my frustration, in the midst of my fear, in the midst of what feels like famine in my life. I want to praise anyway. I don't really feel like a song. It doesn't matter how I feel. My faith isn't built on my feelings. It's built on the faithfulness of God. So I'll sing anyway, and you can join with me or not, because I don't care. I am going to sing about Jesus Christ who set me free. I'm going to sing about I was once lost, but now I'm found. I'm not going to sing about what I'm facing right now. I've got eternity with God, and He's not done with me. If I've got breath in my lungs, I'm giving it back to the one that gave it to me. My life is not my own. It's been bought with a price. So if you want my song, God, even in the midst of my struggle, it's yours. The altar of my heart has one king. It's Jesus. Above all, through all, forevermore. And when you begin to sing in the midst of your problems, listen to the room right now. You feel better than you did before. What changed? You quit letting the enemy steal your praise. Because if he can steal your praise, he can stop your God progress. And you make the decision. Now, it's easy to stand and shout when I'm up here screaming and spitting. But Monday morning on your commute, what are you going to give him then? I'm telling you right now, you're going to make the decision right now. We're making the decision. We're praising on Monday, and we're praising on Monday night. And before it gets to midnight on our worst day, we're praising anyway. I'm not going to wait for me to get the deal or get the date or get the good report from the doctor. I'm going to praise advanced. Because he's faithful, and because he loves you, and because he cannot wait to show himself strong on your behalf. All he's asking is a heart that postures in praise. God, I thank you. More than just a hyped up moment in a service, I pray that you touch hearts. Who stole their praise? What stopped their praise? God, I thank you. You would highlight it so clear. And right now, they would leave that situation, that struggle, that person, and that problem at the foot of the cross. And then we're moving on from there. And maybe life is still a mess. Maybe it's still a struggle. But they're going to choose a song. They're going to choose a hallelujah. They're going to choose to glorify my God in heaven. They're going to choose to sing about who you are. Even when they haven't seen your hand, they're going to sing to your heart. And Lord, I thank you, you can shake everything like you did for Paul and Silas and set them free. They might feel like they stay stuck in there for a while, but they're free on the inside. And Lord, I thank you that the sound of freedom begins to reverberate in our hearts and our lives in this church. And even right now, people that have not sang from a deep place of passion for God are having a revival. They're having a repentance. They're having a change of direction because that pain was real. But they're choosing more than the reality of that pain. They're choosing to live from the revelation of the goodness of God. And from there, we're going to sing a song. And it doesn't matter how it sounds naturally. It's about a spiritual environment and atmosphere that's worthy. God, it's giving you the worth, the value, the honor, and the glory. It's all about you. Lord, I thank you that as we lift up praise, even from a place of pain, you're going to raise us to new life. And you're going to even resurrect things that are dead and gone. And you're going to revive our hearts and our minds. And you're going to set your captives, the captives free. And you're going to show yourself strong on their behalf. in the name of Jesus. Stay in this moment of prayer. I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here and you're far from Jesus, you're here and you've never said yes to the grace of God, listen, I'm not talking about showing up for church. I'm talking about the moment in your life where you said, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm not close to God. I want His love, His grace, and His forgiveness. Or maybe you had prayed it before, but you know it's been a long, long time. He's not been first in your heart. You've allowed all the problems to steal your praise, and maybe even steal that place you feel like you were positioned close to Him. And God feels a million miles away, but the truth is He's right here. In fact, He's like knocking on the door of your heart, not to just pray a prayer, so that you can have a deep relationship with Him. If you don't feel like you have that connection, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation. For some of you, it will be a first-time surrender to the grace of God. For some of you, it might be a reconnection, a revival back to God. But don't miss this moment. We're all going to pray together as one big family of faith. Not you online or Lansing. We're all going to pray together. But this is your own personal prayer. We're just here to support you because you are not in this alone. We will be pain partners and praise partners for your future because you will make progress in your calling. Starts with this decision. No matter what stole your praise, no matter how you've got here today, will you receive the gift of God's grace? If that's you, with no one looking around, the only thing I have, not sign you up for church, you're not going to have to show up and serve next week. It's about you and Jesus. But if that is you, the one act of humility I ask is you would raise your hand. If that's you and you need forgiveness, you need grace, and you need reconnection with God, you need salvation, raise your hand. There's one, there's two, there's three, there's four, there's five, there's six, there's seven, there's eight, there's nine. I can't, 10. 10 I can count, some I can't see, maybe online, maybe there's more. You can put your hands down. I might have missed your hand, but God definitely did not miss your heart. And then what we're gonna do is we're gonna pray this prayer, and then we're gonna just take 10 seconds to praise. And we're gonna praise like, I'm not saying about decibel level. I'm saying about a heart decree, cry of our heart. We ain't going back, we're moving forward. We're shaking some things free today, amen, amen. Let's pray this prayer all together. Oh, come on, one family faith. You can open your eyes, lift up your heads. Big smile, come on. Hey, first of all, can we give them a round of applause? How many, it's awesome. Okay, let's pray, let's pray. Come on, from your heart. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
For loving me. I can now love you because you first loved me. You went first, sent your son, died for me while I was still a sinner so I could be saved. I am now forgiven. The grace of God, it's more than enough. I'm your son or daughter. And from this day on, I live for you. I'm all in. And I praise you because you're worthy of all praise. Thank you, Jesus. I am saved. Amen. And now let's praise God from victory and for victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you, church.